Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fully loaded program here. Maz and Murray alongside. Fellas, how are you?
Good, you?
Great.
Okay, enough of the pleasantries. So we've got the Rick Nash trade. We have the J.D. Martinez signing.
Yeah.
And press conference today. And we have the Rob Gronkowski tweet over the weekend. I think those are the three big stories. We also have an NHL trade deadline that is still, despite all the Bruins' maneuverings, still has about 57 minutes to go. I don't know if we're putting the counter up on NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast. But either way, anything breaks across the league of a major nature, you will hear it here first. And we'll wrap it into our Bruins conversation. So, again, Rick Nash trade, J.D. Martinez this morning, Gronkowski over the weekend. Maz, what do you want to start with?
Nash.
Go.
Let's start with Nash. And so, look, I was stunned when I first heard this on Saturday night, like everybody, that the Bruins were serious, had emerged as leaders in the Nash discussions and were suitors for Nash. I thought, that's bullcrap. You know, they've asked, the price is going to be too high. They're not going to get Nash. That's not really, they're not going to pay that price right now. They're not going to do what it takes to get him, and they're not in a spot where they should do what it takes to get him unless they get some sort of, you know, absurdly good deal. I don't think this deal is absurdly good, but I think it's a good deal. And I give Sweeney credit for pulling the trigger. And the more I thought about it, first of all, what I like more than anything is it doesn't feel like they've given up any of their elite prospects. Okay, so to me, that's number one, because they're not at a spot in their development where they are balls to the wall, all out, go for the cup. I don't think. My two cents. They've had a hell of a year. I still, I didn't regard them, though, as a true cup favorite among the handful of teams that you might consider a cup favorite. But when I started to think about it, man, you've asked the veteran guys on this team for a lot. Bergeron, Chara, Marchand, you know, create all of them. The veteran guys, you've asked them for a lot. So if you're going to ask him to babysit, don't you have to pay him at the end of the night? Like, you know, and so I think this was for them. I think this was, you know what? I can't ask you guys to just come along for the ride. We're going to go out and get you a veteran player. We're going to add to it and make a run and see what it's like. And I think Sweeney's doing the right thing by doing that.
So that's the part I agree with 100%. With the seasons that the veterans are having, they kind of caught lightning in a bottle. They did owe it to them. They had to make something. The first round pick, that's pricey. But you had Sweeney say last week, look, it's expensive out there. But overall, I mean, they needed that size and strength in that second line. He's obviously an upgrade than Spooner. So I like the deal overall. I think it puts pressure on them, too. They have to win a couple of rounds now. Like, It was a big cost. They have to win a couple of rounds for this to be justified.
So I think there's a lot of layers to it, a lot of things to pick apart, a lot of reservations that I have. But I think at the end of the day, I think the reason you should feel good about it is because their ceiling's higher now. I mean, period. I mean, I can't guarantee what Nash is going to bring. He's been a disappointment largely his whole career. So just based on his history, he's almost never come through in the past, so why should he now? I'm not telling you he's going to. But if he plays at his best... Oh, you're so much better than you are with Ryan Spooner. You could just even see it last night in the little snippets. He ran over a few guys along the wall, brushed off a couple guys along the wall. His reach, that wraparound attempt he had in the second period. Like, he's just... He is, man. He is elite, and when he's going, he's a force.
He's a moose.
And Ryan Spooner's just sort of a guy. Nice player, made a nice move this year, but is really nothing more than just a ancillary piece. Nash is a stud when he wants to be. And so, if his head is screwed on straight, and if he's engaged, you just got a lot better in the short term. Was it too much to give? What are the odds that he comes through? Those are things that we'll debate throughout the course of the day. But I don't think you can argue that. This current team has a much higher ceiling now, and you just got to love the fact, well, again, whether you like the player or not, and I'm torn, or whether you like the deal or not, the fact the Bruins are in that position and recognized it is what a gift for hockey fans. We didn't think it would be that kind of year. So you're saying you're in position to make a legit cup run and you just went out and got the best player available at the deadline? Wow. Awesome. You should feel good about that. All right, that's item number one. Item number two, J.D. Martinez finally signs. The press conference was this morning. What stood out?
Hey, what do you know? We get a deal, huh? Oh, awesome. That's nice to know. So apparently it was all much ado about nothing. Is that the deal? The look, and I'm not one of these people to sit here and second. Two things stick out to me about this story. I'm not one of these people who typically will sit here and tell other people how to do their jobs. But the Boston baseball media, you embarrassed yourself. You embarrassed yourself. They sign a guy to a $110 million contract. The news comes out at the beginning of the week. They don't sign him until a week later. And it gets to the end of the week last week, and people are still saying nothing to see here, no big deal. And now we all know that there was something to see there, that there was something going on in the negotiation. What? And it's not just a baseball thing either, so I shouldn't pick on them exclusively. I think it's more of a, it's almost more of a global thing, at least in this market. Does anybody ask any legitimate questions anymore? Does anyone actually cultivate the sources and ask the questions like, hey, look, what the hell's going on here? Why is this taking so long? And then when they're told, oh, no, this is nothing to see here. Everything's fine. Oh, okay, thanks. You just walk away and you accept that? What do you think? They're going to tell you everything you want to know all the time? I think that that part of it, frankly, is embarrassing. It is. It's embarrassing. There was an issue, clearly, that popped up during the physical. They changed the language in the contract as a result of it. Is it the end of the world? No. The player's still here. More often than not, they get those things figured out. But can you at least have some instinct and sense that something has gone awry when 3-4 days after he shows up in camp, they still haven't announced it? Does it really take all that much? I just think that, that's bad. That is bad. If we have reached that stage as an industry where a guy shows up in camp early in the week and 4 days later they haven't announced it yet, and we say nothing to see here? Oh, no, this is all normal.
Well, what's even worse is if you just ask the question, like, what's going on there? You get, like, scolded. There's that's the one I have a problem. You're going to scold me for just why? How come? Why? 4 days later.
I mean, what? Hell, Dakota, for Christ's sake, in Braintree. Dakota has more information than the people covering the team. He calls in and he tells us on Thursday last night he was wrong. He said a knee. It wasn't a knee.
So it was bad info, but at least it was something.
Okay, but he
I'll
said
take it.
But he said something's going on, and he was right. He was right. There clearly was some sort of medical issue with the player. Like, that one drives me bananas.
Not one question about how concerned are you about this foot going forward? Nothing. Nothing.
No, the only question was Cafardo, I think, was the second one at the press conference where he said, can you talk about the delay and what led to it and, you know, where we are with that? And they skirted the issue, which you expect that they would. But really, that part of it's embarrassing. You're signing a guy to a $110 million contract after an entire offseason of waiting. And then they don't announce the deal for 4 days. And someone said, like you said, someone says, what's wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. No, nothing. Nothing to see here. Heaven forbid that we actually think there's an issue, and there is.
Item number two is that 617-779-0985. Item number three, Murray, what does this mean? Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will not just be reached, it'll just be starting. And I clean that up. But that's generally that was Rob Gronkowski in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the day on Saturday, 2:15 p.m. on Twitter. Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will not just be reached, it'll just be starting.
That means it's a legitimate, almost frightening concern that Rob Gronkowski is gone. He's going to walk away from the NFL and go into the WWE or try to become a movie star. I saw this. I legitimately went into full-on Big Jim Murray freakout mode. Like, it's real. He has 1 foot out the door. And I think you're right to feel that way.
I feel that way. I wouldn't know. Maybe 1 foot out the door is a little dramatic. I just think the odds are solid that he's got something and he's walking away. Now, what does that mean? 50-50, 60-40? I don't know. I think it's real. I don't think his stuff off the field, Mass, is just a contract ploy. I mean, it helps him. Having leverage helps you. So, certainly, it's a piece to it. But I think it's real. I think it's real, and I think the temptation for him to leave is real, and the opportunity for him to leave is real. And that's what that's about.
Listen, I told you, I think his health concerns are legit. At the end of the day, I told you, I think he's going to play football. I might be wrong. I'm not sure I ever would have bet on it, but I never once for a second thought that he was making up the stuff about his health. And I think if he does make a decision about leaving football, that his health is a factor. I think it's a big factor. So I'm not shocked. So but I'll still be surprised if and when he actually pulls the trigger.
I was listening to Jones and Sarge on the weekend on the Nick Cattle Show, which we're going to get to at some point this week. What Adam Jones did to the Nick Cattle Show over the weekend, wow. Wow. I don't think it was what Nick Cattle's had in mind when he launched the Nick Cattle Show, the content of that program. But after this tweet, and Sarge is one of Jimmy Stewart's wrestling guys, Sarge brought up an angle to the Gronkowski thing that I never considered. And that is, what has Vince McMahon and WWE just launched in the last month?
The XFL.
All right. And so, like, I never even thought of that. And then Sarge's hot take was that Gronk could be the first commissioner of the new XFL, which on the face of it sounds like the stupidest thing you've ever heard.
It is.
Until Sarge told me who the first commissioner of the XFL was. Do you know who the original commissioner of the XFL was?
Was it Jesse the Body?
Nope.
It was a Chicago Bear.
Stop. Guess, man.
I was going to guess like Mark Gastineau.
So Stuart knows because he's a Vince McMahon guy. Guess who was the first commissioner of the original XFL?
Jim McMahon?
Dick Butkus.
Oh, that's right.
Perfect. So whether Gronk plays in the XFL or not, or is the commissioner or not, man, it's a fricata theory. I don't know. It's a Vince McMahon. It's a WWE production. They're going to have hype men. They're going to have managers, coaches. What if he's a coach in the X? I don't know. There's just a million things there that he could be or just sort of ancillarily related to wrestling, the XFL, entertainment, Vince McMahon, Worldwide Productions. I don't know, Jimmy, whatever they call the company. As just a baseline for them, the movie. Like, I think there's a whole thing for him outside of the NFL.
Your buck is...
Which is real. And I never even thought of it. Just open the door of the XFL possibility.
Yeah, I can think of him playing in it, but I never... The commissioner angle. Yeah, sure. I mean, if Dick Butkus did it, yeah.
Well, no. How about a dual role?
I mean, commissioner is funny.
Yeah.
Player coach.
Right.
Player coach.
There could be something to
it. Is the XFL going to be real, or is it going to be...
Director of officiating.
Yeah.
Well, just name it. Like, you'd have so much fun with it. A coach... What if Gronk was a coach in the XFL? I don't know. I'm just telling you.
No, I know it sounds goofy, but look, if they throw enough money at him and he can do both things for, you know, Vince McMahon Entertainment, you're right. Like, that's a real draw for him.
Oh, he should sign a personal services contract with Vince McMahon. Part-time XFL commissioner, part-time wrestler.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final question. A lot of people were thinking that the Bruins were going to be really in a tussle for a wild card spot. There's a 20-point gap between third and fourth in the Atlantic Division, and the playoffs seem almost assured at this point. Is this team ahead of schedule, and did that change your agenda?
Well, we got a lot of runway. As I said, we got a lot of games in front of us, and we need to be better. This is probably as critical openly as I've been in the last little while about our hockey club. I didn't like our two periods last night. I don't like our first period tonight. So we've got a lot of work to do in front of us. But I do believe the team, the way they've played in the body of work, suggests that we will get out of it. We will play better, and they deserve the opportunity because to have some additions here. And as I said, we were target specific. We certainly didn't want to take away from the fabric of our team and our younger players that were currently on our team and players we think will be a building block for our club.
I think it's really the veteran players. Again, you got some guys here. Chara's 40, 41, whatever the hell he is. Like, you know, he's had a good year. He doesn't have many runs left, if any. And Bergeron's played his ass off, and you have veteran guys on this team that have really invested. And again, I don't know any other way to say it than if you're going to ask guys like that to be patient while you're bringing along young players, if you were going to ask them to babysit, you got to pay them at the end of the night. You got to. And I think it's a good message to those guys. Hang with us. If we're in it, I'll do the right thing. And so I like that part of it because those guys, to me, have been absolutely instrumental in the whole thing.
Okay, T-minus 37 minutes until the NHL trade deadline. We told you we'd keep you updated on any big moves across the league, and we have one.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First reported from TSN's Bob McKenzie. Evander Kane has been traded to the San Jose Sharks in exchange for a 2019 conditional first-round pick, Dan O'Regan, and a 2020 fourth-round pick. So, Evander Kane, no longer with Buffalo, sent to the San Jose Sharks.
Kane's up this year, I think, right? So you got to pay him. That's a conditional first for a rental. I bet the condition is on whether they re-sign him or not, or something like that, or if they go deep.
Or
in
how
the playoffs.
Deep they go, right?
But that's a big body and that's a big guy out of your division. You know, you thought Evander Kane, Jack Eichel, everything that they got building there in Buffalo, was going to be the next wave, and it's just not. It's just simply not. So, again, we'll keep you updated on big moves across the league as they occur. But to your phones here, on a reentry Monday, Rick Nash, Rob Gronkowski, and J.D. Martinez. Keith and Rockland, lead us off on Rick Nash.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I do like the trade.
but I'm going to definitely have to see this team do something in the playoffs, especially Rath. I'm actually coming back from Buffalo, and I sat that game yesterday, and this team can still lay an egg with the best of them.
So does the way they played recently concern you?
No.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Now, look, it's at the end of a trip. You know, I thought the Leafs largely took it to them on Saturday night. Now, they didn't dominate the game, or the Bruins didn't put out the stinker they did on Sunday. On Sunday, they were checked out. I mean, they were useless. But I think this has been going on more than just a couple games, Murray. I think it's really closer to about 10 days, 2 weeks.
Oh, I mean, look, what they've been doing since the beginning of December, it's not sustainable. They were going to have a little bit of a funk here, and maybe that's what this is, but it's nothing more than that. I'm not, like, freaked out about it, and nor should anyone else be.
Yeah, I'm not saying freaked out. I'm saying they're coming back to earth a little bit, and I am worried about the wear and tear on some of the younger guys. It's a long season.
Yeah.
It's a long season.
I mean, I'm not. It was bound to happen, but let's see. You know, they were overperforming before. Over the weekend, or certainly last night, was an underperformance. They're somewhere in the middle. Where is that middle? I still don't know. You know, I still don't know exactly what they are or just how good they are. I do know they have a chance to be much better with Rick Nash. They have a chance to be. The odds of that happening, we can debate. But you could just see it in snippets last night. He just brings more. He brings more to you than Ryan Spooner. And I also like the flexibility that he gives you, just lineup-wise. You know, I hope they don't move Nash up to Bergeron and Marchand. I think Nash belongs with Krejci. I just think from a pace of play standpoint, and Krejci always does well with the bigger physical guy, like, I think that's good. But the flexibility is there. If Pastrnak is, you know, dinking around out there or getting sloppy or not holding up to physical play, you can move him up there. I also like the possibility Nash is a left shot playing on the right side here with Krejci. You also have this possibility, again, if you get into a real grindy series, physical series, to make a second line with Nash on the left side, his natural side, Backes on the right side, and your second line is Krejci, Nash, Backes. Like, that's a heavy, how-you-doing, playoff-proven line right there. And I like just sort of that flexibility there. I don't want Nash up with Bergeron, though. George in Rhode Island has a thought on J.D. Martinez. Hi, George.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, what? I caught some of that press conference this morning, and the reason for delay in signing him was they were just waiting for Dombrowski to figure out how to unbutton a uniform.
I don't quite get the joke, but it's funny.
Me neither, but go.
So I think that's it. Did he have a problem unbuttoning the jersey?
This is
why we don't do jokes, because unless you're watching or listening, you don't know what the hell he was talking about.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I didn't watch it. I listened to the press conference. You know, I got interrupted when it came on, so I didn't get to watch it, unfortunately.
What did you make of the press conference?
So to me, in terms of J.D. Martinez, one thing in particular stuck out, and that is this whole idea of him DHing. And I think that, honestly, I don't think he wants to do it. And so I see the whole thing, and I say, you know, this guy doesn't sound like he's all that interested. In fact, Jimmy, if we could play Martinez 4 here. Two separate instances it came up. Okay, two separate instances. So the first time he was asked about a DHing, and here's how it went.
Whether it's DHing or playing the outfield, you know, that was part of the, you know, part of the deal coming in, you know, is knowing that I am going to play the outfield, but I am going to DH at times too. And, you know, I just kind of just did the same thing I've been doing, really.
So he was asked about he was asked about DHing, and then he says, well, whether it's DHing or playing the outfield, and you know I'm going to play the outfield, but I was told I was going to DH at times too. So in his mind, he's playing the outfield first, and it's DHing second. And then a second time it came up, and again it felt to me like, you know, and I'll spare you the actual audio of it, but McAdam asked him at one point and said, you know, do you think that DHing can help you? And he said, you know, the time between at-bats, you can study more. Well, yeah, but I do that when I play right field. Like, you know, he was making it a point to talk about his ability to play the outfield.
30 years old, bad foot, contract year. Yeah, no, I feel great about it. I feel great. Oh, and he doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to DH on top of it all. So bad foot, and he's playing out of position. You know, again, quote unquote, not the position he wants to play. Pat in Boston on Rick Nash. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys, I don't like the trade. Mike, you know Hoffman was my guy up in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I don't like the trade. But saying that, I don't feel like they gave up, you know, a king's ransom for him. I just don't think. I look at his playoff numbers, and they really scare me. I mean, I think his best year, when the Rangers went to the finals against L.A., he only had 5 goals and a handful of assists. He was just a non-factor. He's a playoff ghost, I've been calling him. But I wanted to get your what you thought about the Toronto game and not getting the goalie interference call on Rash.
Okay, we're going to get to Pat, we'll get to the goalie interference call later on in the show. I thought it was the right call to keep the goal on the board. I thought they got it right. I do not think that was goalie interference. I don't want that to be goalie interference. And I thought the Bruins got what they deserved on that. But we'll give you a full workup on that in a little bit. The thing that stands out about Rick Nash and his playoff stats is that he doesn't have many. This is 15th year, 16th year. He's only been in the playoffs for 6 of them. And so this, like, you know, here's Rick Nash. He's one of the great disappointments of his generation. I mean, he is. He was the first overall pick. He's just brimming with talent. I mean, he's got hands and skill and finish, and he's a moose, as you said.
He's gigantic.
And he can move. So it's like the package. And you look at that and you go, well, this guy should just dominate. And I think his whole career, people have looked to him to dominate and carry and lead, and he's just never been that guy. And you know who one of his best friends in the league is?
Yeah, Jumbo Joe, right?
Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, they're sort of a comparable. They're similar in that there's just like obscene physical tools. And they never won a damn thing. Nash has been to one final, that final with the Rangers, where he wasn't bad, caller, you know, at least on his stat line. He had 14 points in 19 games, was a +8. Okay, so that, you know, he was a part of that Rangers team. And his last 3 playoff runs with the Rangers haven't been bad. 14 points in 19 games the year they went to the finals, 4 points in 5 games when they lost in the first round, and then last year, not so hot, 5 points in 12 games the Rangers lost in the second round. He's just one of the big, you know, letdowns in the league. He is. Now, the huge difference here is that in Columbus, certainly, and then with the Rangers, he's expected to be the guy. Here, he's a second line, second tier. You know, he's behind Bergeron, Chara, Rask, da-da-da. He's not expected to lead you. So hopefully, you get more out of him in that case. But all I'm saying is be prepared to be disappointed by Rick Nash, because pretty much everyone has been. And part of that is, that's a tough thing, because the expectations for him are so high. First overall pick? Just huge skill set. So everyone expects him just to dominate, and he doesn't when it matters. So let's see. I mean, let's see. This is the player that you're getting. But him over Ryan Spooner, please, not even worth debating.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like Andy Kupatukabu. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We not only got better lineup-wise and on the field, what he brings in that clubhouse, the way he prepares, I'm looking forward for him to connect with players, help the young players. You know, he did an outstanding job last year with the D-backs, and that's also something he's going to bring as far as preparation and using information. We were talking about it for the last 2 months. Now we got a guy that he believes in it, and I know he's willing to share information, so that's going to be an asset for us.
You know, if there was a clubhouse element to this, I'm less worried about the information he's sharing with hitting than I am with actually being a leader in the clubhouse. If there's an element of that to this, then I like it even more. Again, the contract to me is, you know, fine. I got no issue with the contract at all. I don't know if the player is what I think he's going to be. I suppose we'll find that out. But if there's a leadership component too, I'll give the Red Sox points for that.
Eric and Douglas, your thoughts on Martinez?
My two thoughts on this, I have two questions, and then I'll hang up. My first question, with the contracts the way they worked out, would you rather have Hosmer's contract and not re-sign Marlin, or JD's current contract? And also, say Martinez has an average year, 25 home runs, 100 RBIs, and Hanley Ramirez is finally motivated for once, and it gives him an extra bat and brings it to a title. Wouldn't you say it's worth the risk?
Yes, absolutely. I put the over-under for Martinez at 3,100. I think if you get 3,100 out of Martinez, take it and run. For all the free agent flops and, oh, God, he comes in and goes 3,100 in the middle of your lineup, take it. Maz needs 35. Maz, of course, is looking for more.
I want 35.
But if it's 25 and 100 and that gets Hanley protection or motivates him or whatever, and it just works, Martinez, Hanley in the middle of the lineup and they win a championship, You got to give it credit. Then you have to say it works too, Maz.
Oh, no question about it. If they win a championship this year.
And he's a factor in it, yes.
Yeah, of course you give him credit for it. Yeah. I mean, look, if he and Hanley both hit, they'll be in the thick of it. They will. If both of those guys hit, they will be in the thick of it. There's enough there to keep him in the thick of it.
Hosmer, 8 for 144.
No, I'd rather have this guy on this deal.
This is 5 and 110. I'm so stupid. Dude, what's the AAVs?
Hosmer comes in, I think, just under 20, doesn't he? He comes in at 8 and 18. Is that right?
Okay.
I think it's 8 and 18. And I'd rather have this guy, and I'll tell you why. Because the power potential with this guy's higher. So to me, that's what they need. Like, look, I'm no Moreland fan, but Hosmer doesn't put you over the top. He's not enough. This guy at least has the chance to be enough.
J.D. Martinez, Rick Nash, and Rob Gronkowski. Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, Maz. And your destiny will not just be reached, it'll just be starting. Pete in Delaware, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not going to go into Gronk's head. I'm not smart enough for that. But my own opinion on that, well, first of all, Gronk's video is out from TMZ over the weekend, dancing at a concert, which was amusing. But look, Gronk's in a unique position most players don't get. He's going to have to come back because he's 100% committed to the game and not because of the money, because he can clearly make more money on the outside than he can in football. And that's the part that concerns me. I mean, good for him if he does it, but that's why I'd be worried as a football fan.
So I don't know if he can make as much, Pete. I mean,
he can make more, a lot more. With the films, he's got Dwayne Johnson in his ear. He's got Stallone in his ear. He gets a couple contracts making films, and it works out. Not only that, you don't think ESPN and Fox would put him in the booth? Look at Michael Strahan, the career he's made out of it. And they're not nearly as popular as this guy. This guy was born for the camera.
Okay, I don't know if this guy's as talented as those guys. Strahan is a personable, talented SOB, man. That guy...
That's someone who's born for the camera.
That is a charming fella, Strahan. So don't, like... Gronkowski has his own charm, but it's different. It ain't, you know... Could Rob Gronkowski walk onto the set of Good Morning America and host a news variety? Are you smoking crack, Pete?
No shot.
Would you come on? Strahan walked in and could do, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours of live TV next to Kelly Ripa. You think So Strahan can carry on a conversation for 2+ hours and interview people and read. So that's not Gronkowski. Gronkowski can fly off the third turnbuckle. That I know he can do. He can do it well. And there's a market there. Also on the action film thing, he has to be good. I mean, he'll get a role or two to start, of course.
He'll get one guaranteed movie from then.
Right. If he's a stiff and can't do it, then, you know. So don't give me that.
What if he's Dolph Lundgren
or Brian Bosworth?
Dwayne Johnson, right? It's a big difference there.
The entree, though, the wrestling thing, come on now.
Oh, he could do that.
And the Nickelodeon kids show, I've seen him on this. My kids watch it.
Like, he's good on that.
He can do that. And so can he make as much doing that as football? No, I don't think so. Can he make $10 to $15 million a year? No. But here's the thing. He can only do that in football for a couple more years. So if you ask me over the next 30, what can he make more doing? Oh, it's not even close.
No, it isn't close. So, he's got much more longevity than the other stuff.
But in the next couple, he's not going to make 10 to 15. But it's the longevity and it's the long play. And the question is, if that long play is there and he can be good at it and he cannot get his brains beat in, why wouldn't he go do it?
I wonder, like, what I'd be curious to know as this thing goes on, I don't know that we'll ever find out, what put him over the top? Like, you know, because, again, this feels like it's real. And so was it the hit in the AFC Championship game? Was it at the end of the year? Was that what did it? Or is it just accumulation of things and he was thinking about it coming into this year or what?
I think the accumulation of things, Mess. And when you think of it, someone said this over the weekend. Maybe, again, it was Jones during this great hour he had on the cattle show on Saturday. But someone said it, so it's not original. But how he has freaked out the last couple of years at every injury. Like he thinks he's, like, remember the thing in Denver?
Sure.
With the hit on the knee?
Sure.
And he's carried off on the cart, and he's almost crying. He thinks he's over, and it was nothing. He was back the next week or the week after. He didn't miss any time. And he's had a few of these now where... I mean, he gets concussed. It was a heavy shot, but boy, you look at him, it's like he could barely walk. Like, I think
everything that he feels like it's more than it actually is. I remember even week two in New Orleans, he stayed down for a little bit, and it was like, oh, God, what's going on
exactly,
here?
And it was nothing.
Yeah.
And it was nothing. Did he even miss a week?
No, not at all.
So I think when you look at this, and just in my mind's eye, I feel like there's that has the ring of truth to it, that he's not embellishing, and it's not like over-dramatizing it. That's not what I'm trying to say.
There's only so much you can take in this league.
He's reacted really strongly to even his minor injuries recently because, I don't know why, because he's getting conscious of them.
Or he fears his own mortality.
He's getting sick of them. He's getting just sick and tired of being badly hurt. And so anytime he feels something, it's like, ugh. You know, I mean, I don't know. But I think that's definitely a trend in his career the last couple of years, don't you?
Well, and look, the whole thing with his arm, like, you know, and go back to the whole Aikman commentary of Gronk was the best player on the field in practice and they couldn't get him into the game, and you weigh it all out, maybe there is something there that he just starting to get a little gun-shy with the hits in terms of he's taken so many, why do I want to take more?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh! Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know how you heard that, but I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Gronk, what would make you retire?
I'm not ready for these type of questions right now. I mean, I'm just going to look, sit down, reflect on the season, probably talk to my teammates. We fought all year long. All the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together. So I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens.
When I heard that from Gronkowski after the Super Bowl, I immediately, just gut reaction, thought it was real. I don't know why. And I still do. I still do. All right, so that's on the board. Rick Nash is on the board. J.D. Martinez on the board. Frank the Tank, how do you feel about the Rick Nash trade?
Well, I told you this the other day about what I thought of Nash, and he is a guy, he is kind of like Joe Thornton, somebody who just really never has lived up to what he really should be. So I'm concerned about him being on the team. I do feel that Sweeney maybe paid a little bit too much for this. I don't like that first-round pick being a flat-out first-round pick. I would have liked to have seen that be a conditional pick. However, what this trade does do, it does open up a lot of cap space for next year, considering that the Rangers did take on Bolesky. They took on half of Nash's salary. But the Bruins right now, they've got an overwhelming amount of defensemen on the team. And I understand you want to have some depth and some backup. And they've also signed Gionta, who, I mean, he's 39 years old. I don't know what he's going to bring other than some leadership. But they need to get rid of a defenseman or two here. And maybe, you know, I know they've got, 10 minutes left. Try to get something else for the team. I don't know what that could be right now. But I do like the move as far as he's doing something. He's not sitting on his hands. At least he's being aggressive.
Just overall, I have to cut you off. I mean, you know, when the year started, or a couple weeks into the year, did you ever think they'd be in a position where you get to the trade deadline and they're one of the top five teams in the league and they go make a trade for Rick Nash?
Not in a million years.
Because they're going to make a run for the cup.
Not in a million years.
That's what happened.
I didn't believe it Saturday night,
so
let alone Sunday, you know, let alone before that.
If you're a hockey fan, if you're a Bruins fan, that's just tremendous. You're in position to make a run for the cup, and the GM is acting accordingly, and he just went and got Rick effing Nash. Like, that's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great. I'm warning you, everywhere he's gone, he's let you down. He's just that guy. Now, hopefully, you're not relying on him. He's a second-line guy. He's a second-tier sort of presence on this team. He's not the man. He's been the man wherever he's been. And so he's not the man here. Maybe you get the most out of him. But I'm just telling you. And even though, you know, he looks good. Like, last night, I felt he looked the part. Not that he was, you know, he dominated the game or anything. But you just saw a couple times. Guys bounce off him, man. Like, he's just, when he A-framed behind the net and had that wraparound, it's just like he's a man-child. And if he just decides to take over with Krejci there, that's, like, that makes you so much more legit and dangerous than Ryan Spooner floating around on Krejci's wing. I mean, it's just so much better for you this year.
See, I don't feel like they gave up a ton. I'm not saying they gave up nothing, because I don't like the first-round pick part of it either. Like, I like those picks.
Well, so the Lindgren thing, the more I think of it, I was more concerned about the first than Lindgren, and then the more I thought of it or people talked to me about it, maybe it's Lindgren that I should be more concerned about. Because the first-round pick, again, is going to be 28th. 27th? I don't know. Something like that. And, well, that player's then still going to be 3 years away. You draft an 18-year-old kid. Lindgren, you know, you need D. You need left shot D. And he's one of the left shot D that's coming up. So, like, he's a little more, he's at the University of Minnesota. You drafted him 2 years ago. He should be ready to go in a couple years. Like, that's the one I think I need to look at more. And that's the one I'm going to be, you know, if Lindgren turns into a player and Nash comes here and does a Nash disappearing act, and, you know, then you're going to look back and say, no, that you lost that trade. I mean, there's obvious risk.
I feel pretty good about some of the young defensemen, particularly on the left side, that they have in their system, though. Like, I feel like at least they dealt from an area of strength. In, like, the Spooner part of it? Oh, please. They weren't going to keep Spooner anyway. The whole reason they had Spooner was to move him.
Oh, the whole thing, the giving up of Spooner and Bolesky, you should feel great about. You get out from some of Bolesky's money, and Spooner wasn't here anyway. So he was going to, they weren't going to re-sign him in the offseason. And so you got, he's a chip, and you used him, and you upgraded massively at that spot. The Spooner and Bolesky thing, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. It's the first round pick, and then Lindgren. What does he become? Casey on the South Shore on Rob Gronkowski. What do you think, Casey?
Well, I'll tell you guys this. I'm a filmmaker. I won an Emmy in 2015. My first movie came out last year. My next movie is going to be a pretty big one, and if someone told me they would give me a bonus to use Gronk as the lead actor, I would say no, because the bottom line is he's a charismatic guy, but he just simply can't act. So it's just not, it's not going to happen for him.
I'm sorry. You won an Emmy, you said?
I did, yes.
I thought you said you were a movie guy.
Yeah, well, I started in TV and went over to movies.
Okay. It's not Casey Affleck. Who are we talking to?
Casey, I'm available for small roles if you need me, pal. I'm serious. I want to get to the Oscars. I got to get one of those swag bags, man. I want one of those.
Well, I'm moving into action movies, so I don't know if Oscars are in my future, but I won an Emmy for ESPN E60 on the marathon bombing. It's called Dream On, Story of Boston's Strongest.
Okay. Well, very good. I'll take your word for it.
So anyway, my point is he's a great guy. I'm a diehard Pats fan, had season tickets for a long time, but he simply can't act. And don't forget, Dwayne Johnson spent most of his career in the WWE acting as a wrestler, and the guy went on to be the biggest actor in Hollywood. Gronkowski can't act. He just doesn't have it in him.
Well, not yet, but I do think, Casey, and you know more than I, or Stu would know more than I think the WWE is a nice little training ground for acting.
Absolutely it is. Totally, that's all they do is act.
And that's what Dwayne Johnson, Dwayne Johnson earned his chops and, you know, got his acting chops in acting. So, and I'm not telling you that Gronk can be Dwayne Johnson. I'm just telling you, starting off with wrestling will make him a better actor. As good as he can be, anyway, whatever that is.
Jimmy, Rowdy Roddy Piper would have been a hell of an actor.
He was. He did They Live and a lot of other B-movies.
All right, well, there you go. I'm telling you, A-movies.
They Live was awesome.
He could have been A-movies. I think wrestling and acting go hand in hand. Obviously.
Stu, what do you think of the whole WWE XFL combination and what that means for Gronk and the opportunities there?
So I don't think it means as much as Sarge does for Gronk, but I think what it was Vince McMahon announced it so he could get his new cable deal from either Disney's parent from either Disney or from Fox. And I think it's a money play.
Meaning it's a fake? He's not even going to go ahead with it?
I don't think that Vince McMahon will ever have his actual hands on this thing. I think it'll be a different company that actually develops the XFL and puts it on TV in 2020.
Okay, but that still doesn't really answer the question. Does that, you know, so he's going to have it for the next couple of years?
No, it doesn't affect Gronk. Gronk will be a wrestler.
I don't know. If I'm Vince McMahon and I'm signing Rob Gronkowski to a contract, I'm using him in the XFL.
Both.
In whatever,
definitely.
Whatever
both.
Role. Coach, GM, commissioner, whatever. Make it up.
Right, personal services contract.
Have
you go wherever I need you to go.
Absolutely.
In fact, you could even do kids programming and wrestling for Gronk.
I mean, they have cartoons. I mean, WWE produces cartoons on their network.
Oh, Gronk could record lines, right? He doesn't need to act to do that.
I just think there's a lot of possibilities for him. And don't rule out the XFL. You know, one time Gronk comes out of retirement for a big playoff game. Like, they can. It's the XFL. They can screw around with it however they want. It's like I just don't dismiss the whole thing.
I mean, there's more money in, say, a WWE T-shirt that says "You got Gronked." They sell that for $30. He gets half the profits.
Oh, I like that. The pile driver and the Gronk.
Ryan in Nashua on the Rick Nash deal. Hi, Ryan.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Awesome. I'm not gonna lie. I actually don't mind this deal at all, considering what we gave up. I mean, yeah, obviously there's Lindgren in that first round pick, but I mean, I think maybe. They got to get, maybe the McDonough deal just got to be too much. Now, that being said, with less than a minute here, Did the Bruins shut it down, or are they working something to possibly get look at Mike Green and maybe pick up, replace Michael England?
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I think they're shutting it down. You got 10 seconds. It's over. The trade deadline's pretty much over. And they gave away their first-round pick. Like, that's when you know the window's closed, when you trade that first-round pick. Because what, they're going to start trading multiple first-round picks this deadline? I don't feel that's in the cards.
No, what I would expect to happen now is, look, obviously they did Junta, and they made this move. They got Holden. Like, I would expect the Ginless somehow factors in here, too.
I wonder. So if you see Brian Junta or Jerome Ginla, as something went horribly wrong. Seriously, someone fell off a table or got hurt. Junta should not be in their top 12. Now, the Holden kid, I don't get. I don't get why they made that trade. If he's their eighth defenseman is what it looks like. So Carlo, you know, has hit a rough patch here. He's on the ice, I think, for three against in Toronto on Saturday. So they sit him last night. Fine.
Maybe he's a minus four in the Vancouver game too, right?
Okay, so maybe he needs a blow. All right, finally, after, you know, a year and three quarters, he's just hit a wall, and so he needs to take a look at the game from the ninth floor. Fine. But they bring in Miller and McQuaid. So Miller and both Miller and McQuaid play last night, and Greslick still has a spot, and this Holden guy is still up on the ninth floor. Like, why are you giving up a third-round pick and Rob Ogar for a guy who's that makes him as your eighth guy?
I mean, maybe they're making some sort of assessment there. And when I say it, do you remember the comment that Cassidy had about, you know, maybe they play man-on-man, we play layers? Do you remember that?
No.
Remember that comment he made? I don't know. It just struck me as sort of an
unusual. You're saying the Rangers play man-on-man?
Yeah. Yeah. And it struck me as a kind of comment like, we got to get this guy integrated. I don't know. It just felt like he doesn't, you know.
Well, clearly he's not close because
his strength is not how they were using him is not how we're going to use him. It's going to take a while.
He feels like he's behind Kevin Miller, Adam McQuaid, and Matt Greslick. So, eighth defenseman. That's a lot to give up for an eighth guy.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.